Welcome to Season 6 of the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. This season of the podcast is devoted to the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus teaches His people about life in the kingdom of God.
Jesus has taught us how to address God in this prayer, our Father who is in heaven. He's taught us to pray first and foremost about His name. That's where it starts, that God's name be hallowed and revered. That's the priority. Next, He taught us kingdom praying, how to pray for His kingdom, that there would be more obedience to Christ here and now on the ship, and that the ship would arrive at port soon, that this, the ultimate final form of the kingdom would arrive. Kingdom praying. Then He taught us to pray for His will of desires, that His desires would take place on earth like they do in heaven, that our wills would be subordinated to His desires. And now, after all that, we're finally ready to make our personal requests. Now, the first time in this prayer, we get to asking for daily bread. And we're going to pick up on that next week. But let me just, I just want to say a few things now about the connection between the first half of the prayer and the second half of the prayer. The first half, when we never even mention ourselves, or it's all about God and His name and His will and His kingdom. And the second half, where we're asking for our own stuff. If the structure of the Lord's Prayer teaches us anything, let it teach us priority. Let it teach us that prayer is about God. Prayer is about God. I need to start by praying about His name and His kingdom and His will, His honor, His desires, His purposes, so that I'll understand why I'm asking. When I get to my own request, I'll understand why I'm asking for that, why I'm asking for daily bread. This is just crucial. The only reason to pray for bread or daily provision, money, whatever you need, is so that I can carry out my part in this kingdom. So that I can use it for His name. If I ask for daily bread just so I can be comfortable, that's worthless. Why would He answer a prayer like that? There's no value to it. But if I pray for daily bread so that I can function in the work of bringing about His kingdom and bringing people to hallow His name and to do His will, that's a prayer God delights to answer. And I need some bread in order to be able to do that. Kingdom praying reminds you that you're on a ship, purpose is to get to port. When we're sick, we go to the captain of the ship and ask for some medicine. Heal me. And he says, why? And we say, because I want to be healthy enough to hoist the sails or to repair the rudder or feed the crew or whatever it is I can do to help this ship get going. And he says, very well, and that's great. And he answers the request. But we don't pray for healing just so we can wander aimlessly around the boat or hit golf balls off the deck. So kingdom praying teaches us the right motive for our own personal request. In fact, in some cases, I think it changes the way you pray and what you pray for. Because it reminds you of what this God is like that you're speaking to. Take a look in Acts 4, and I'll show you this. Example of this. In Acts chapter 4, the people are in a world of trouble. The disciples, Peter and John, had been captured and beaten and then commanded to stop preaching on pain of their life, on pain of death. And so that wasn't an idle threat. It came from the very mouths of the exact same people. Just got done murdering Jesus on the cross, so they knew these guys were serious. Very scary situation, to say the least. And so what do? They pray. They gather together corporately and pray. And you might expect their prayer to sound something like this. God help us! Protect us! Protect us! Put a hedge around us! Give us wisdom! What should we do? Give us guidance! Show us what to do! But instead, they follow the pattern of the Lord's Prayer. And they begin with a focus completely on God and His kingdom. And His power and His will. It's all you, God. Listen to all the yous in the beginning of this prayer. Verse 24, Acts 4:24. Sovereign Lord, You made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of Your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand and the rulers gather together against the Lord and His anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in the city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and your will had decided beforehand should happen. That's all worship. It's all about God. It's all you, your, no, me, us, we's. The prayer is rooted out of Scripture, too. It's all right out of Psalm 2. It focuses on the promise. The promises that God made to the Messiah in Psalm 2, and it focuses on God's sovereign control over all the events that had been taking place. And then right at the very end of the prayer, finally, they get to their request. But instead of asking for safety, or a hedge of protection, or wisdom, or guidance, look what they ask for. Verse 29. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. 2/3 of the prayer is worship. The last is request. And there's no doubt in my mind that last part got changed by the first part. First part resulted in what they prayed for in the last part. After praying about God's promises in Psalm 2, and his sovereignty over all their enemies and his total control over everything that's happened, suddenly, protection isn't their greatest desire right now. That's not their biggest thought in their mind after praying about God's sovereignty. And wisdom and guidance, wonderful things to pray for normally, but right here, it's not the issue because they don't need any wisdom and guidance. What they're supposed to do is already crystal clear. They know what they're supposed to do. What they needed was just simply boldness to do it. So, can you see how focusing on God first in the prayer changes the way you end up asking for your personal requests? In Jeremiah 32, another incredibly scary situation, the enemies of Israel are building siege ramps against Jerusalem. They're about to destroy them. They're about to be attacked and brutalized and killed. And they're going to be slaughtered by their enemies. And so Jeremiah cries out in prayer. But he begins his prayer focusing on God. And verse 17, Jeremiah 32:17. Ah, sovereign Lord, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you. You show love to thousands, but bring the punishment of the fathers for the fathers' sins into the laps of their children after them. Oh, great and powerful God, whose name is the Lord Almighty. He just goes on and on and on like that, all the way down to verse 26. And you know, Jeremiah never does get around to making any requests. He gets so wrapped up in talking to God about God, he gets done with it, and he doesn't need to make a request. He's fine. This will change what you ask for in prayer. This will change the way you make your request. You won't just immediately rush into God's presence and ask for comfort all the time. Give me comfort. In those rare cases where getting your daily bread won't actually help advance the kingdom, you'll find that suddenly you don't even really want your daily bread. You're not even asking for that. It won't even help in this case. Jesus showed us that. John 12:27. Now my heart is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No! It was for this very reason that I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. His fleshly impulse would have been to say, Father, save me from this hour. But he's not going to pray that because he loves God's will. He was born for this hour. And so he says, instead of save me, protect me, he says, glorify your name. Normally, his heart was troubled. Normally, when your heart is troubled, your tendency is just to burst into God's presence and ask for deliverance. Fix this. God, save me from this hour. But you stop for a moment to consider God's kingdom and the highest, most compelling drives of your heart are for that, and you can see that your suffering here plays a role, an important role in advancing the kingdom, and so you suddenly lose your desire to say, save me from this hour, and instead you just want to say, glorify your name. Why? Because the hallowing of God's name and the working of his purposes are more precious and more delightful to you even than relief from the suffering. So please don't ever think of the first half of the Lord's Prayer as buttering God up so that you can get your requests in the second half of the prayer. The purpose is not to butter God up, but to open our eyes. The purpose of that first half of the prayer is to open our eyes. And you've been in the dark for a long time, and you step out into the sunlight, so blinding at first you can't see anything. And you have to kind of wait a few moments for your eyes to adjust to the lights that you can see. The same way with prayer. Living in a physical world, we tend to just have our gaze downward into this dark world. And when we first start praying, at the first few moments, our vision is fuzzy and it's unclear. And it takes a few minutes of just focusing on God and His glory before you can start to see clearly, to even know what to ask for in prayer. But then when things do come into focus and we are ready to ask, then our asking and His answering becomes an exceedingly precious exchange. And that's where we'll pick it up next time. Lord God, Thy will be done. We love You, Lord, and we trust You. We love Your desires, and we love Your plan. And we, just as You even subordinate Your own desires to Your perfect plan, so we subordinate our desires to Your plan. And we rejoice in Your wisdom. Let us rejoice in Your will. It would be a good goal to develop a habit of praying that begins with God and His kingdom rather than our own personal requests. Take a moment right now to pray for a while without any personal requests. Talk to God about God, like you see in the Psalms. Rejoice in what He's like, what He's done, and seek His kingdom. And then end your prayer. Do this as practice to train yourself on how most of our prayers should begin.
Thank you for listening. We pray that in this series your life will be transformed by the soaring ethics, deep insights, and glorious promises of the Sermon on the Mount. We are crowdfunded ministry, so if you would like this podcast to continue, please consider supporting us with a tax-deductible gift. Just go to treasuringgod.com and click on Give. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.